Alright, thank you. Alright. Start from Saturday classes. Yeah, Saturday classes through 8th grade.
What was I saying? Yeah, we have Saturday classes through 8th grade. Do you want me to say the part about capstone again?
Could you explain that more?
It's so long ago. I'm sorry.
No, it's alright. Try as best as you can.
Okay, I'm not sure how many of us there were, but it was like a good amount of us at the Hill School, and we basically just had school for 3 weeks. Like, we had meetings, we did math, history, English, and one other thing. And we were put in different cohorts based on placement tests that we took. And your interest in what you wanted to do when you went into high school. So based on that, you would go. Everyone would take the same type of classes, but depending on the cohort you were in, like the advanced one or like the regular paced one, you would do harder things, I guess. Like, mostly in math, you would just do higher level math or just like regular for your grade level math. There were sports. We got to use the student center. Yeah, it was just like being at boarding school, only we were younger, so we had like more like supervision, obviously. Oh, and we had a structured study hall in the library. Usually it'd be in the dorms, but it was really hot and they didn't have AC, so.
Was that like from, would it be like from 7 to 9 or something like that?
Something like that. It was like 2 hours, so yeah. Yeah, that's probably it. It's different than my boarding schools. That's all I know.
Yeah, you had study hall in boarding school?
Like, yeah. At my high school, we had study hall from 8 to 10. It's more structured when you're a freshman because they want to get you acclimated to, like, you come in 14, first time away from home. They want you to, like, focus on building good habits, like sitting at your desk. Like, they take your phone for the 2 hours. You can't really leave the dorm unless you have like permission from a teacher. But once you're a sophomore, you have more freedom to just study in different spaces. A lot of people go to the library, things like that.
So what type of like school did you go to during the program?
Like, you mean when I was looking at high schools?
Yeah.
There were a lot of high school fairs. I remember that. We went through not training, but they gave us tips. Well, it was kind of training. We had, like, practice interviews, and, like, the person would rate us and give us feedback. What else did we do? I told you about the SSAT prep. Saturday classes were more SSAT prep. And then we just did more stuff for our edification to prepare us for high school.
Edification?
During Saturday classes, we took English and math courses, and then we'd have, like, one block for, like, something else. But it was up to the head of, because there were three different schools, because people in Seeds are from all over New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So there was one at Seton Hall, which is where I went to. There's one, you don't really know schools in New Jersey, but there are three different schools. Yeah, there's one in Del Barton, I'm pretty sure. No, Dwight something. It was a DE school. I can look it up and send it to you after. And then there was one at Pingree. And yeah, so we had our head teach the third part of the class. And I actually liked Saturday classes. Like, I didn't hate it. I thought I was going to hate it, but I didn't. So, and yeah, Seeds had me look at day schools, boarding schools. I know in the beginning, my mother was really, like, she was like, oh, you're not going to go to boarding school because, like, you have to be home. And I was like, oh, I don't want to go to boarding school. Then I kind of warmed up to the idea. And, like, the place where I went to high school is really, really pretty. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity to go there because I know I wouldn't have had it if I wasn't in Seeds. Sorry, my crazy window's open.
Birds are going crazy.
There's this guy outside staring. We're just going to move. We're going to ignore it.
You can move if you want to. Like, if you feel unsafe.
No, it's just that he's just vibing. It's just like, why? For what? There's a pandemic outside, go home.
Okay, so explain the whole, like, so there's three different programs in NJ Seeds, or like there's three different schools, or like, or it's like, what, like, you know, you gotta, like what? No, what I meant, like, what type of school you went to? I mean, like, what middle school did you go to? Like, you know, like, was it a Catholic school? Was it, like, a public school? Was it, like, where was it? Was it urban? Yes. Was it suburban? Like, where?
I, went to a Catholic, middle school. And then I went to a boarding high school. I was a part of the...
Continue?
I was part of the scholars program, so I didn't do the young scholars program, and I didn't do the college scholars either.
Scholars program?
Yeah. Within Seeds, there are three programs: young scholars, regular, like, Seeds scholars, and then there's college scholars. I think young scholars gets you into good middle schools. I'm not too familiar with any of the programs within that. What Kelly and I did was, just regular scholars, which gets you into a good high school. And then college scholars is self-explanatory.
Yeah. So did Chase and Sabrina do young scholars?
I'm not sure what they did. I didn't know them when I went to Seeds. The only person I knew was Kelly.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sarah, but she was also in Seeds. She goes to Bowdoin.
Yeah, I know. I could have interviewed her too, but it is what it is.
It's okay. Like, just email her. I'm sure she'll be down. I don't really know what else to say.
So you got young scholars, and college scholars, right? And you found out about the program because your mom was searching for, like, shit like this, right?
Yeah. I think someone told her about it, but she was also looking for different programs. Because Seeds isn't the only one. There's ABC, the White Foundation.
Yeah.
There's a couple others, but those were the three that I was most familiar with.
Yeah. So when it
comes And for people out in New York, there's Oliver and things like that.
When it comes to, what's it called, like, the admissions process, was it just, like, you know, you took a test and then they interviewed you, or, like, what? How did the admissions process into the program go?
I think it was kind of like, you know how for the Common App you have to fill out a bunch of questions? It was like that.
Yeah.
And you had to write, like, a bunch of essays, things like that. And then you just get an email saying whether or not you made it to the second stage. And, like, a lot of people apply for it.
Is it popular in New Jersey?
I think so. I think they told us, wait, I think there were 70,000 people that applied when I was, yes.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How many get it?
I think it was, wait, whoa. Let me not feed you bad information now.
I can just Google it. I knew it was. Right.
big number. It was a big number. That's all I remember. All
right.
It could be 7,000, could be 70,000. I couldn't
still
tell
alive.
You.
Still alive. Still alive. And how many people, like, to your knowledge, get in?
A couple hundred, maybe less.
And, like, is there ever a point where it's, like, they could cut you, like, after you're in it?
Yeah, well, they expect you to keep up a certain level of, like, behavioral. They expect you to behave, like, whether you're in their care or at your old school. I know they cut after the first interview process and then after summer challenge. I know a couple people decide that they don't want to follow through with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, then people on the wait list can get in.
Oh, interesting.
I know some... Huh?
That's interesting.
Yeah. After Summer Challenge, there's a wait list. And then you find out who your actual, like, class is during a leadership retreat. Which is more... It's more, like, just fun bonding things. Kind of like Bowdoin does with the pre-orientation trips. You, like, go out into, like, the wilderness and you do... like hiking and leadership training and things
that?
Like that. Just like bonding stuff. Huh?
When's the leadership retreat?
It's like somewhere in the foothills of New Jersey. I don't I don't know where it is. And we do like climbing and hiking and we live in cabins, which is the closest I've ever been to camping.
When did you go on this trip?
And we just... I think it was before Capstone. So, 8th grade? 7th or 8th grade. I'm so sorry. I don't remember.
That's alright. That's crazy.
And then we had, like, graduation. It was cute. It was real cute.
Yeah.
Like, after you graduate from 8th grade, you graduate from SEEDS and you become alumni.
And to your knowledge, like, you know, the goal of SEEDS, right, was to just get you into, like, the best school that you possibly could get into.
Yeah. It, like, takes kids that are low-income, but, like, really bright or, like, top of their class in whatever their school, whatever school they go to, and they give them an opportunity to go to like high achieving high schools that they wouldn't have the chance to go to or not available in their area, so that you wouldn't end up at just the public school in your area, whatever it is. And they introduced us to a lot of schools that we had no idea about, which I'm really grateful for, because if I wasn't in SEEDS, I would probably be at a school that, like, a lot of people, I don't know what I'd be, but really grateful for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the things that we did were really good for me. I'm really bad test taker, so it was really good to have all the SSAT prep and things like that. I didn't really have a problem with the interview part, but it was nice to have that. And you kind of got a mentor as you went through the process, because it's super confusing, so it's nice to have someone who knows what they're doing.
Like, and who's the mentor? Is it, like, by the program? Like, they assign you to somebody, or is it just, like, the director themselves?
I forget what their official name is, but there's just a bunch of adults that I know. I remember their names, but I don't know. There's Amani, who was like the head of, she was the head of Summer Challenge in Capstone. So when we were in Pennsylvania, she was overseeing us, making sure everything was running smoothly. Then when it was time for actual applications, there were two other people that we went to with our questions, helped us with going through the application process for every school. And like for high school, we had like a Common App thing, kind of like for college. So they helped us work that out. That was basically a large part of what Saturday classes was, like, doing that to keep our grades up in school, and, like, in English, we'd end up writing papers that ended up being for, we didn't know this at the time, no one told us anything, but we were writing papers that were ended up being for the Common App, and they didn't tell us until it was, like, a couple months before. They were like, yeah, we're gonna start editing these for your Common App, and we were like, oh, okay.
What were the essays that you wrote about?
Ooh, I do not remember that. Well, I remember one of them. It was like, where do you see yourselves in 2035?
Oh,
sure. And another one was someone that inspires you. That's the only two I remember. There were like four or five.
More like
I didn't know it. I wish I know what I said. Okay. The 2035 one.
What were, like, the demographics of the people that were running the program? Like, the people that, you guided you through this process and shit?
Mm-hmm. What about them?
Like, were they white, black, Hispanic, white?
Oh, there were a good mix. It was actually a very diverse staff. No, actually, it was very diverse. There were white people, black people, Hispanic people. There weren't a lot of Asian, on the director's staff. Yeah, but in terms of, like, it wasn't just all white people. It wasn't all brown people.
And the kids, too?
Huh?
How about the kids?
It's, most of them were black and brown, but there were also a good amount of white people. Like, I would say it would be like 60-40 in terms of minority and white people. And a lot of people were biracial too, I'd say that.
Yeah.
It was really just like anyone who was smart and like didn't really have money.
So when it came to, like, you applying to these schools and stuff, was there ever a conversation about, like, yo, like, you're going to go to, like, this wealthy-ass, white-ass school, like, you know, be prepared?
Huh. I'm not sure if it was, I don't remember having any talks like that. I know we definitely got the, you're representative of us wherever you go, make sure you're always behaving yourself, find your people, like, find these certain people to connect with, like you're the head of your multicultural center, or just, like, people to, like, make those connections with. I don't really think I ever got that, like, you're going to a PWI, like... But I don't know. It wasn't too big of a adjustment for me. Because when I was younger, I went to a school with a lot of white kids. But by eighth grade, there weren't too many. But I don't know. It didn't really bother me too much in high school. Maybe that's because there were a lot of international students and a lot of like a good amount. My high school was pretty good with diversity and talking about it, so of course it had its moments, as everywhere does, but they were pretty good about it.
But when it came to like did you ever have like alumni come and talk to you about their experiences at the program? At least like in their high schools, like after they left the program, like how's that network like, you know, when you leave?
Yeah. During Summer Challenge and Capstone, we have like college students called student advisors, and each of them give presentations. I know a big one we got was Culture Shock. They talked about that a lot. And how to kind of cope with that. It wasn't really like you're going to an overwhelmingly white, like, place, but it was, like, how to deal with culture shock in life. So, I know we got those talks a lot. We had a lot of, like, meetings. Like, it was a lot of meetings, a lot of different people coming to talk to us about different things, both in Capstone and just, like, on a regular weeknight, when our parents would just, like, drive us to a big lecture hall and we'd have a talk about, like, college. I know they talked about financial aid a lot, and our parents had, I didn't go to some of these, but our parents had financial aid, like, question and answer meetings, and how to fill all of that out, which is in.
And so, like, you would say that, like, they prepared you, like, well for, like, you know, going to your high school? Like, not just academically, but, like, socially as well? Was that just, like, on you, you know?
I'm not like, what do you mean by socially? Like, in terms of making friends or, like, how to conduct yourself in a certain setting?
Yeah, like, you know, dealing with culture shock. Like, did you, like, you know, you said, you, like, you didn't deal with that just because, like, you know, you already had experience with, like, white kids, or at least that, like, you know, like, the school was good about diversity. There's a lot of international students, so it's, like, you know, was it just, you know, the school that was good, or was it because, like, the program kind of, like, prepared you well enough, or, you know, like, or you just finessed it yourself?
I'm sure it was a little bit of both, because, two of us people from Seeds, from my class at least, ended up at my high school, mm-hmm. and I didn't really have an issue with it, but she struggled a little bit in the beginning with kind of, like, finding her people, I guess. And I feel like a lot of times it's more about, like, people not being super, like, I know at least in her experience, I can't speak for other people, it was more about her just needing to keep a more open mind about things, because she kind of went into it with, like, these were the people that I talked to in middle school, these are the type of people that I'm only going to talk to in high school, whereas I was kind of just like, hey y'all. So I think it's more just like about personality, yes, and just like learning how to adjust. I know we read a lot of books about like fixed versus growth mindsets and things like that, so I think it's just about how people went about going into certain situations. I also think being in the program and going to boarding school helped me, like, I don't know, it was kind of like, how do I want to phrase this? I learned a lot faster than a lot of my peers that stayed at home. I know one of my friends from the program ended up deciding not to stay in it because her mother didn't want her to go to a boarding school. And I would say the level in which you mature going through the program and then going to boarding school was a lot, like, faster than a lot of people that stayed home. What else? I was a part of a program in my high school that was also, it was a little bit like Seeds, but, not as much. And the advisors of that were, kind of like, it was kind of like mini Seeds within my high school. So I still had the same, like, mentors, advisors. So it wasn't like I left Seeds and then it was, like, nothing, figure it out. They still had someone come and check in on us once a academic year. Because there were quite a few of us there. There was only two of us in my grade, but there was a guy that was 2 years above us. And once I was a sophomore, there was a kid that came in as a freshman.
Once a year?
So,
once a year they would come?
Yeah. just to check in, see how we were doing, what our plans were for the academic year, what classes we'd taken, what we planned to do in the summer. And it, of course, the office is in Newark, New Jersey, so they were always encouraging us when we were home to come stop by there. Even though I'm an alumni, they offered SAT prep and ACT prep for college, so they're still pretty much in your life even when you're an alumni. They still reach out to me every now and then, and of course, we have all the Seeds kids at Bowdoin, even though I didn't really know there were any Seeds kids at Bowdoin until I kind of showed up, and they were like, oh, like Chase, I had no idea he was in Seeds, and he was like, oh, you're in NJ Seeds, and I was like, yeah, were you? But yeah.
That's pretty cool. If there was like...
What's your independent study on? What's your independent study on? Like, I know you're interviewing all of us, but like, what's it about?
I mean, it's not really an interview, it's more a conversation. But, I can't call it an interview.
As all interviews.
What happened?
As all interviews should be. We're just talking.
Yeah, no, I can't call it an interview because, like, I don't have IRB. So, like, I'm saying I'm collecting oral histories, which I'm basically doing. But, so my independent studies, is about, a term that I call, at least, like, you know, the programs that, like, you know, people like you and I went to, like, I call them accelerated educational access programs, in the sense that, like, they take young kids, you know, poor and bright or whatever, from inner cities mostly, and kind of, like, put them on a fast track, like, you know, by supplementing them with, like, academic information and shit, but also kind of, like, culture information about, like, different institutions that they wouldn't have otherwise known about. However, a lot of times, like, these places, while they do prepare you academically for these institutions, they don't necessarily prepare you for the culture shock or the ethical ramifications that come by, like, you going to these places. Like, you know, you left your mom, basically, to go, like, to Vermont and shit, right? And, like, you know, a bunch of other people, like, at least, like, for me, like, I didn't go to, like, the schools that, like, the kids in my middle school went to. Like, I went to, like, this other school that, like, was in the Bronx, but they had no idea about type shit. And so it's, like, at least when it comes from my experience and for a lot of other people, you kind of, like, end up, like, there's an ethical cost to, like, moving up through education. Like, you know, the notion that you have to leave your community in order to get a good education, the whole... phenomena of, like, the brain drain, or it's, like, you know, you gotta leave to go to college type shit, or it's, like, you know, depending on, like, you know, what kind of friends you had in middle school or whatever, I know this for me and I know this for a couple other people, that, like, you kind of just feel different than them, because, you know, on your weekends, you're not necessarily, like, doing the same shit that they're doing. Like, with your summer, you know, you didn't, like, have the same type of vacation that they did. Like, you spent 3 weeks at, like, you know, boarding school or whatever. Like, I spent 3 weeks at the University of Scranton, and then I spent 3 weeks at, like, this other high school taking classes and shit. And so you kind of just feel different because you're on a different path. And so you feel alienated from the people that you once identified with. But also, when you come into these schools, you know, there's, like, hyper-wealth and hyper-whiteness and just hyper-privilege. You kind of just feel alienated from those people as well. And so you're kind of just, like, in this in-between, and you don't really know, like, you know, like, where you fit in the grand scheme of things. But for some people, like, you know, they can adjust. At least, like, for a lot of people, they assimilate to the high schools. For some people, they completely reject it. It's a case-by-case basis. But, you know, the way that I see these programs, in essence, it's not that, like, they necessarily care about you individually, but they care about the student that will succeed, or at least the student that has the highest chance or the highest probability of succeeding, you know, in these places and shit, because at the end of the day, that's what they're going to show, like, to their board members and to their donors and stuff, is, like, the success story of, like, you know, the kid who has the emotional maturity, who has the capability to behave when the white man says, you know, don't act that way, you know, act like this. So it's like looking at these programs, like, for the good that they do, because they do expose people to it's like, you know, wonderful opportunities to like get a great education and like, you know, basically fucking change your life at the end of the day. But also kind of like how it's just like they're just they're using the education system to like their advantage, but it's also reflecting the issues that are already in the education system, which is like, you know, only a few can actually make it out. Not everyone can make it out. And in order to make it out, you have to, I don't say be docile, but you have to learn when to shut up and when to like just do your work and not really like, you know, be who you are in essence sometimes.
They're trying to get you to play this. They're teaching you how to play the system.
Yeah.
What program did you do?
It was called, it was the REACH program, but it was called Recruiting, or at least the acronym stands for Recruiting Excellence in Academics for Catholic High Schools. So, like, it was just a new...
You went to Catholic high school?
Yeah, or a Jesuit, really.
What's that?
Huh?
How was that? Was it all boys?
Yeah.
How was that? No, how was that? You have to tell me more.
So, basically, for me... at least like for a lot of the kids, like, you know, we had like, we did the similar thing that y'all did, like, you know, at least like my program is different because it started my fifth grade. Like, I got nominated by it's really weird actually. Like, I went to public school all up until fourth grade, and then my public school teacher was just like, told my mom basically, like, you have to get your kid out of here, or he's gonna get fucked up, or he's just not gonna like go anywhere, like, you know, he, like, you just need to get him out of here. And so she moved me to the Catholic school in the neighborhood, and then when I was there, a teacher, my fifth grade teacher, she like nominated me for this program. And then, you know, I had to do an application. My mom had to write an essay. She doesn't know how to write English. I did the essay for her. We had to come in for an interview. I did the interview. They asked me to read some shit. We had to do a test. The test was long as fuck. They were like, we don't expect you to actually finish it. You know, just take it. Take the test.
I hate
that. No, they were just like, yeah, well, you're probably not going to finish, and it's okay if you don't finish. Like, we just want you to do it. And then, you know,
it's just that. Like, yeah, why make it that long then?
Literally. We did that. You know, they, like, you get in. Some people don't get in. There's no wait list, really. And, you know, like, at least, like, you know, the nature of these programs that, you know, it's all completely free, right? You know, like, we just want to help your kid, da-da-da-da-da. And so I spent, at least, like, you know, they were like, all right, you're going to go spend 3 weeks in the summer taking classes and, like, you know, doing other shit, like leadership building or whatever, at the University of Scranton. So we did that. And then we went 3 weeks at Regis High School. Where we, like, took tests and shit. At least not weird. We just, like, did work as well. And then, like, we played in Central Park and, like, went on trips. And then we had Saturday classes in the fall. And then Saturday classes in the spring. And then, you know, repeat the summers. Every summer. Until 8th grade summer, you don't go to the University of Scranton anymore. Because by that point, you know, like, you already know where you're going to go to high school. So you just go to the 3 weeks at the high school. And then you just take, like high school level math and shit. But you know, for a lot of my friends, like, they went to the high school that we went, that we took summer programs at, and, like, you know, we grew up, like, we basically grew up in this high school. We spent our summers there, you know. We spent literally, like, but the majority of our, like, free time in this place. And, you know, like, when it came on the first day of classes for them, like, it wasn't their school anymore. Like, it was just a sea of whiteness, and, like, there was just, like, the couple brown faces there. And so like, for them, it was really just, like, interesting seeing how, like, you know, they knew the school, they basically knew the school was, like, they knew the back of their hand, but they didn't really know the type of people that went, only, like, because of the counselors that we had. Like, we had mentors from the high schools and shit. We had, like, people here in and out, but, like, they were only doing it basically for the college applications, you know, like, oh, I mentored some kids, da-da-da-da-da. But, at least for me, in my high school, it's inside of Fordham University. It's called Fordham Prep. And so it's very interesting. Like, you know, I took the train every day and shit. You know, I had to wear suit and tie, blazer, during the fall and whatnot. And, what's it called? Like, my first day of class, I just remember, like, seeing just mad white kids. I was like, damn, I've never seen so many white people before in my life. It was just these little white kids, you know, wearing their Vanger Vines and their, like, their pastel-colored, like, shorts. They're not shorts, but, like, pants. Like, weird shit. You know, Sperry's was a thing that, like, I'd only known a little about. But apparently it's the biggest thing ever. Vanger Vines, too. And then I remember seeing this one black kid. And, like, the moment I looked at him, I was just like, oh, this kid's different. Like, what's good with this kid? And, you know, he, like, I'm cool with him to this day. He goes to Amherst and shit. But it's like, you probably seen him too at, like, your meets.
What's his name?
Renzi?
Oh, I don't know.
He's a sprinter. But, he fucking, like, this man was wearing, like, he was wearing, you know, a suit, and, not suit and tie, but he was wearing his college shirt, his tie, but he had a sweater on. And the sweater had, like, a plaid pattern on it and shit. Like, he was wearing loafers, too. And, at least it wasn't a plaid pattern, but it was just a patterned sweatshirt, like, sweater. And I remember just looking at him and just hearing him talk. And I was just like, who the fuck is it? Like, this kid, like, who is this kid? And, like, it really showed me how, like, you know, there's different experiences for people. Like, money changes, like, your life type shit. And, like, you know, I went to school with a lot of kids. Like, you know, they were black and brown kids, but, like, they lived in, like, the suburbs and shit, you know? Like, they took the train, like, they took the railroad, like, the Metro North, you know, to school. And, like, you know, they left the Bronx in that shit, too. And so, like, I was really just one of the only kids that actually, like, lived in the Bronx. Like, you know, that actually, like, took the train home and shit. Like, and just, like, you know, there's a bunch of, like, Irish kids, Italian kids. It was weird how they broke themselves up. Like, they, like, you know, they'd be like, it'd be like where they lived in a certain suburb. It wasn't like, oh, we're all white. It was like, you know, I live in Yonkers. I live in Crestwood. I live in the city. You know, I live here and there. And, like, you know, they all had their different type of problems. Like, city kids were like cokeheads or some shit like that, you know, fucking like rich as hell. Like, one of my classmates in my year, at least, his, do you know MasterChef?
Yeah.
Do you know,
Bastianich? Who's he on it?
No, do you know,
what?
Do you know Joe Bastianich? One of the judges?
Yeah.
Yeah, his son went there. He was in my grade. He was a fucking idiot. Like, literally fucking rich-ass idiot. And then, like, we had, like, this famous, like, we had, like, one of the players for NYCFC. His son went to our school. Like, he was a year below me and shit. But it's like, you know, it wasn't like everybody was rich, but, it's, like, when I came my first day, like, pretty much all the kids knew each other. They all went to, like, middle school with one another. A lot of them did, you know? And, they're all just, like, a lot of them was just racist as shit. Like, you know, like the white Italian kids, like, the Albanian kids, you know? Like, just, like, fucking crazy. Like, they would, like, they would think, like, they would adopt black culture, but they would also be so racist at the same time. And just, like, I just never understood it. And, yeah. But, like, you know, I wouldn't have known about that school if it weren't for, like, the program. Like, the program basically, like, you know, kind of, like, changed my, like, my future. Like, you know, I was going to go to school. I was probably going to go to college, too, regardless. But, like, the first day I went to high school, like, you know, I saw kids wearing, like, Notre Dame sweatshirts. Like, I was like, Notre Dame? What's that? Like, I know they play football, like, but nah, it's a fucking great-ass college or some shit like that, you know? And so it's, like, it changed my worldview from just thinking about, like, you know, staying in the Bronx or staying in New York City, you know? My mom wanted me to go to Columbia. Like, that was the dream for her. But for me, it became, like, I want to go to Stanford. Like, I want to go to fucking, like, New Michigan or some shit like that. Like, I want to go somewhere, you know? Because everybody else wanted to go somewhere, too. Like, it's crazy because my school taught me that, like, you know, this is crazy types of privilege and shit, but it's, like, kids would literally laugh at you and just, like, shit on kids who got into Fordham U and who went to Fordham U. When Fordham University is a fucking great school, but, like, if you went to Fordham University, you were considered, like, an idiot because you stayed, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I know my friends, like, that actually have Fortemu now. It's, like, for some people that they know, it's, like, Fortemu was their top choice. Fortemu was, like, a reach for them. For us, it was, like, a safety joke. And so...
I feel the same way. It's, like, well, mine's a little different because my high school, I will say one thing. It wasn't very preppy, which I think was really good. Like, they had, like, a lot of wealthy kids, but, like, a lot of the time, you wouldn't know except for like certain moments. Like, you know that, like, you knew they were like poor, to? But like they were very like humble about it.
What school did you go to?
And like, I went to NMH, Northfield Mount Hermon.
NMH. Okay.
Yeah. So like, everyone was very low key, very respectful. They're very conscious about like their impact. Or at least the people that I interacted with. Of course, there's always those one or two people where they were just like... And, like, there was this one girl that, like, came in. She's Dominican. And she was, like, with, like, at one point... This is a wild... You don't have to put this in your report. But she, like, stood on a table and started screaming in the dining hall how, like, pointing out white people and being like, I hate white people. And then we were just like, oh, I wasn't there, but I heard this in my dorm because I was a resident leader, so some of my juniors came and they told me, and I was like, oh, and the girl was in my grade, so I was like, anyways, she got over that. She's doing a lot better now, but you wouldn't really know, or at least freshman year, people were very low-key and tame about, like, what they had until there were, like, certain moments where people would be like, oh, where are you summering? And I'm like, summering is not a verb. It's not a verb. Like, it's a noun. What are you talking about? And they're like, oh, I summered in, like, Turks and Caicos. And I was like, oh, I summered on my couch. So, or, like, there's this one kid, super sweet kid, so humble, you wouldn't know that he had money at all. His mother's an astronaut, and one day he pulls up in a Tesla, and I was like, hang on a second. And he's so respectful. He's like, you wouldn't even know this kid had a dollar to his name. Like, obviously, like, he presented himself, like, well. Like, he didn't come in sweatpants every single day, but, like, sweet kid. And he pulls up in a Tesla, and we're like, oh, okay. So you got it like that. And this one kid threw a grad party. You never really know until, like, the end of the year. Like, when spring hits, that's when you know, like, the people that have money start popping out, because it's grad party season. So... I think it was a sophomore. I did not go to this party because I didn't really like the senior class, but they graduated, and one of the guys, rich, stupid rich, threw a five-day grad party at his ranch house, had a Shaq West, like, concert, because, like, they're boys with Shaq West, and they broke, his back porch. I have a picture of it. It's crazy. Because, like, Shaq West posted on his Instagram, and I was like, hang on. Is this what we're doing now? Like, this is just the way that we live. Okay. Right. That's fine. Wow. Here.
Well, fucking fact.
This is on his Instagram. Because they know Shaq.
Shaq West Award 2017.
Yeah, the girl in my picture, two of the girls in my picture, one of them lived to the left of me, and the other one lived to the right of me, like, in my dorm. Like, both of those girls were in my dorm. I don't think they have money. Like, see, like, you never really know unless you, like, know someone well, which I thought was really cool about my experience. Like, people were, like, a lot more low-key about it. I don't know if you know Deerfield, but Deerfield's super preppy. Like, you know the kids that are, like, rich white, like, lacrosse boys, like, those type of things. We didn't really, like, we had a couple people, like, but we didn't really have, like, that whole stereotype, I guess, I would say.
Yeah, would you say, at least, like, you know, you, like, obviously, like, you know, you do it again type shit, like, the entire experience, but it's, like, if there was anything that, like, you know, like, stuff that you knew now that, like, you wish you knew before, like, you did it, like, did the program, like, is there anything, like, you would tell yourself?
Before I did the program?
Yeah, like, knowing what you know now, like, you know, knowing, like, where it would lead you and shit, and, like, the path that it's put you on, like, what would you tell yourself?
I wish I was more open to boarding school in the beginning of the, like, time. Because, like, I feel like I didn't really get to look at too many boarding schools because of the fact that I was like, I absolutely not, I'm not going to boarding school. But then I ended up going to boarding school anyways.
Yeah.
So if I was more open to the idea earlier on and I got to look at more boarding schools, like, yeah. Other than that, what else? I don't know, like, I think it was good for me.
Yep.
Like I just the play like the high school, it gave me like a lot of new friends too. I think the only people that I still talk to from my middle school are people I went was in seats with. Yep. Like I don't talk to anyone that went to my middle school. But
why do you think that?
Like the people that went to my middle school weren't the nicest. Let's keep it. Let's say that.
Sure.
They just weren't very nice. And I just, like, didn't like the things that they would do. It just wasn't me. So I was like, oh, this is what we're doing. It was just weird things. And I was just like, y'all are weird. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And they were, like, very, I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to expose anyone, but, like, it was just a little too much for me. I just had to remove myself.
Would you consider yourself low income?
With, what?
Would you consider yourself low income, like, low income first gen, whatever?
Oh, yeah. I'm first gen, too.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to say.
What about like
the program is for low income students, so
what about like nationality, like ethnicity? At least not nationality, fucking ethnicity. At least
you want my full spiel?
Huh?
Okay, I got you.
I want your full spiel.
First generation Caribbean American student from a low income background.
Yes.
You're so welcome.
Where's the Caribbean part from?
Both of my parents are Dominican.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. You thought I was African, unfortunately.
Why would I think you're African? Dominican.
That's so funny.
Where's the island? It's like, is it near Barbados or some shit? Like, or is it near St. Louis?
Close to it. St. Martin. St. Lucia's close to it. I can send you a map.
I can Google it. Oh, love.
It's gotten a lot more recognition lately. Because, you know, everyone wants to travel to the Caribbean nowadays. But, here.
Did you also get a free laptop from Thrive?
Yeah.
Fuck. God damn it. Y'all lucky, yo.
Netflix, man.
Y'all received what we didn't get. If only
it was so funny, because the leaders of BSE were just like, oh, but where are ours? And Danny was just like, oh, this is so awkward. We don't have any for you. And we were just there like, oop, this is awkward. But, like, I didn't really do BSE for the laptop. I just wanted to be a STEM kid, you know? Still a STEM kid? To my labs, my little labs.
Are you still a STEM kid?
Yeah, I'm a neuroscience major on the pre-med track.
Okay.
let's save our okays until after I get through these weed out classes.
How's your finals been? How's your final week going, yo?
It's okay. Two of my classes have finished because they were more like they just gave us assignments and they're like finish it by this deadline.